What is going on, Jobber Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with Vogel and the face that runs the place, Tyler Face. Face, how's it going, my guy?
What's up, buddy? We were just talking about this new belt, the new hardcore belt. I meant to send it to you yesterday. How do I get this? Oh, Jesus Christ, this is being old age, not using computers.
Oh, you're all right, man.
Share screen.
I know, dude. Technology always be evolving, and we think we know it all still, but
you know what? We're gonna share my Facebook for a minute.
All right.
Oh shit! Maybe I can... shit. Okay. Hold on. It's not there.
All right.
I do have.
There's a new hardcore championship belt.
Yes, yes. I don't. I'm a fan of the old one. Nostalgia, oh, yeah. I guess.
But definitely. Here,
I apparently can't send it to my.
I mean,
computer, but I'm sending.
I'm
it
a
to
fan
now.
I'm a fan too, man.
Motherfucker. All right, so let me pull this Facebook back up real quick. I want to show everybody, guys. I'm sorry, my technical difficulties. I am old, apparently.
I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, our show unless we didn't have some type of technical difficulties going on.
not the right button. Yeah, let's click the.
Oh, I see that. That's not too bad.
But I'm a fan of the old one. Like I'm old.
I mean, that's if they decided to bring it back. I mean, I don't think they will because of the simple fact that they already had the 24/7 championship for the longest time. And that followed kind of the exact rules of the hardcore championship, but it would be nice to see the hardcore championship.
I would
back.
Like it to come back, honestly.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would like it too, but you know, that's just some fan art. You know, it's not anything that's you know set
but,
in stone.
But you got to realize that didn't that come from WCW, right?
No, that was always in WWE. It was during the Attitude Era when they brought it in.
Oh, that's right. For some
to
reason,
to try to get more ratings. Much. No, it didn't come with anybody. It wasn't like when The Rock decided, you know what, I'm going to challenge Booker T for his WCW championship and win it.
Right. But yeah, no, I saved that the other day. I meant to send it to you. I'm like, you know what,
we'll
talk about it today.
If you're going to have anything with hardcore, it's got to be the old school hardcore championship with, you know, the belt missing like half of the plate and stuff like that.
You just
got to have the old school. I mean, I don't mind the new school, but it seems like it's trying to be too much like the heavyweight championship.
Together.
Yeah. It seems like they're trying to do too much with the like even introducing the heavyweight championship, you know? It seemed like they're trying to do too much and have a lot of belts now.
Yeah, I feel like there's like the 24/7 was just that one was fun to watch. That one was cool.
It was fun, but like
it
seemed like they
serious.
Used not just that, but it seemed like they used it a lot to fill up some filler spaces.
I noticed
a promo or something like that. You know, they'd start off with like a backstage segment and then someone would be running in with them with a ref and pin them and things like that. I mean, I liked it during pay-per-view events because you never knew like what legend was going to be backstage.
Yeah.
To possibly win it. But after a while, it just started getting old and it's like, man, R-Truth deserves that belt full time.
Yes, he did. I mean, R-Truth, God, he always made me laugh.
Exactly.
The little Jimmy thing, the little that made me laugh so much.
Oh yeah, his just his presence and everything like that, like his timing and everything was just spot on for especially a belt like that.
Always spot on.
Especially, remember that one time when I forget what Royal Rumble it was, but R-Truth, it was pretty recent. R-Truth made his way to the ring with the 24/7 championship, and he was like, yeah, that's why Royal Rumble, I'm challenging you, Paul Heyman, instead of Brock Lesnar. That made Brock Lesnar break right there, and he said that was the funniest shit he's ever had.
You know what? Find that clip because I need to see
it. Oh, yeah.
I will definitely send it to you after the show. Oh, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, it was
but guys,
funny.
This is how we're starting off the show today with the new
hardcore
belt. I just found it the other day, forgot to share it. So now you guys all know it.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a real thing coming soon, maybe. Who knows? Especially with the way WWE has been bringing out new belts. Never say never, I guess. But it's been a decent week in wrestling. It's been all right. I mean, I don't think any show was like top notch over the other shows, but we're gonna kick it things off like what we usually do with last Friday night's SmackDown.
All
Of
right.
course, SmackDown went on air after we recorded, like always.
Oh, I
So
like
let's
that.
just get into some SmackDown. SmackDown opened the show with Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro with Zelina Vega. And Carlito decides to come out and blame Santos Escobar for Rey Mysterio losing the United States Championship to Logan Paul at Crown Jewel. All of them, Escobar and Rey, left to the back, followed by Zelina. And it left only Del Toro and Wilde ringside for Carlito's match against Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Which leads us to our first match of the night. That was Bobby Lashley defeating Carlito by pinfall after hitting Carlito with a spear. It just kind of brought back, I don't know, for me at least, I don't know about everybody else, but it kind of gave back the old school SmackDown vibes back in the day when Teddy Long was GM,
It did. It did a little bit, yes.
seeing Carlito and Bobby Lashley go one on one again, it's like we haven't seen that in years.
Man, that's
It
he
kind of brought
put
back a little
apples
nostalgia
straight in the
there.
face. Man, I
Exactly.
loved Carlito. That was my shit.
The
He
only
was
thing
such an
that I,
asshole.
oh yeah, especially when he was a heel. I didn't like him as much as a face, but as a heel, he was perfect heel heat and everything.
He worked everything for that heel.
I just wish that the match was a little bit faster paced. I know this is Carlito's first singles match in the WWE in quite some time, but I know that another thing is too, Bobby Lashley and Carlito aren't spring chickens anymore. So, I mean, I think
I
it's
mean,
just
ain't
them
none of
trying to put
ain't,
on a good show.
ain't. This is very incorrect English, and our English teacher would fucking hate me for this. But they ain't none of them all ain't none of them spring chickens anymore. All the
Oh yeah, a
legends,
lot of
all
them.
the legends ain't no spring chickens.
Well, I mean,
So they're
except for the Ric Flair. I mean, he seems to find
Jesus Christ.
the fountain of gold and youth, and
Can
thinks
I
he can get
borrow
back
it?
in the ring.
Can I borrow
I
it?
don't know, man. I think he's bottling it. I think it's called Woo Energy.
I think it is called Woo Energy. I might have to get me some.
But I think also what stood out to me the most was after the match, you had the Street Profits jumping Carlito, and Rey and Santos Escobar go out, and you think, all right, Santos is gonna help, Carlito, even though Carlito just called him out. But no, Mysterio went to go help Carlito, and after that, Escobar beats down Rey Mysterio, turning heel.
I think
So,
it
do you?
was a lot for one night.
I mean, just the heel turn alone, I mean, was decent. I mean, we've been speculating now for a while who's gonna break up first, LWO or Lashley and the Street Profits, because
Or even, yeah.
we've known that Lashley's had some beef with the Street Profits, not showing their mean streak, and I think that they did show their mean streak by jumping Rey Mysterio, not Rey Mysterio, but Carlito this past week, and I think this could possibly be the domino that sends LWO into finally breaking up. It seems to me that Carlito shifting the blame on Santos Escobar for costing Rey his championship makes me think that Carlito, in some type of way, thinks that he is the leader, if you would, of LWO.
Hell no, he ain't
And
no leader. I'm sorry, I like him.
just the way it sounds, though, it just makes it sound like he thinks that he's the leader and he thinks that he's gonna run the shit,
Nah, Ray Ray is that leader of that.
But do you think that that could cause some rifts too? Because Carlito caught pointing fingers at everybody else. I mean, where was he at during Crown Jewel? He could have been out there helping him too. You just can't place the blame on one member of
This is
LWO,
very true.
especially when LWO is a face stable. You know, they're not the they're not the bad guys. You don't, they're not going to run interference. They're going to, you know, save something from interference. You know, they're going to sit back and let it play out. And I think that this could possibly cause some rifts, especially if Carlito still thinks that he's all hot shit and thinks he's the leader and all this. I think you could see a lot of people not liking that and deciding, hey, I'd rather have my singles push than be in this group.
Yeah.
Do you see down the road, maybe since, you know, Carlito called out Santos Escobar like that, do you think any other members of LWO would turn heel? Joining Santos Escobar like that and maybe starting off as a heel faction and kicking Ray out, maybe they'll see Ray as the weak link now since he is injured, since he doesn't have a championship and he's older too. They used up all of his knowledge and things like that, replaced him with someone who's a little older with Carlito. So I mean, it's just something to think about.
You know what, put that into the universe, bud.
We always put stuff in the universe, and it seems like it always comes through.
Right, you want to put together, not taking it. Guys, this is my little bear, sorry. Here you go play. He's putting together his tent, so he needed dad's help.
All right, so yeah, that was definitely something that was
okay. I don't remember, for some reason it's burning a hole in my head. Why did KO have to be commentary?
Oh, it was because Corey Graves is out at the moment on fraternity leave. His wife Carmella had her baby.
She
had her baby like a few weeks ago. So yeah, so he's on leave right now to spend time with her and, you know, enjoy being a dad for a while.
But why did the GM say you can't hit but anybody or you're suspended?
Because of that feud with him and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
Because
remember he was backstage and I think it was, I can't remember what show it was, but Grayson Waller and Austin Theory said, you can't hit us with one punch like that, because he was threatening to beat the crap out of him. And he did it all in one motion, hit both of them at the same time. And that's when, what the hell is his name? Jamie Noble. Remember him back in the day?
The little skinny dude.
Yeah. Bald head almost. Yeah. He was right there and he said, see, Jamie, I told you I'd do it.
All right. But yeah. Okay, that makes sense now. For some reason,
yeah. So it's setting up a feud between those three right now. But going back to this entire LWO situation, could you possibly see Escobar joining forces with Lashley and the Street Profits? I mean, I know it'd be a long shot, but
it's a long shot. But I mean, if they really want to extend the story, yeah, why not?
It could also bring back the Hurt Business. I mean, I know they had it when MVP was the head guy, and he recruited Lashley and a whole bunch of other lackeys to help Lashley. I think it could somewhat be something like that in a way, but definitely don't call it the Hurt Business like they did before.
Yeah, or the Hurt Locker or whatever the hell it was.
Exactly.
Hold on. I apologize again, guys.
Oh, you're all right.
Duty never stops.
See, that's the beauty about recording it and then putting it on Spotify. I can edit all that out.
This is so true.
So that's all right. I mean, the viewers get something a little behind the scenes, but the listeners,
this is behind the scenes.
We'll never know. But moving on from that match, we then get a promo from Damage Control, who decided to make Kairi Sane an official member, Later, during that promo, they were interrupted by Charlotte, Asuka, and Bianca Belair, setting up a six-woman tag match for the main event of SmackDown.
Yes, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially how we all know it ends, but, you know, we're going to talk about that a little later on, so there's no spoilers, you know, just in case anybody didn't watch it. Second match of the night, we seen Dragon Lee defeat Cedric Alexander, which was a pretty decent match. It seemed like it was a little bit of a spot fest at some times, but, you know, everybody says AEW is a spot fest a lot too. So, but it was enjoyable, not too overdone. I'm liking the past few weeks, we've seen some of the superstars we normally won't see or haven't seen during Vince's run, and they're getting some TV time due to Triple H's booking.
Right. I think there's a couple of these guys I don't exactly know. I'm like, who is this? Like,
Cedric Alexander's been in the WWE for, it seems like, forever now, and he's been taken off TV, not necessarily repackaged, but he was also, I think, in Hurt Business or whatever the hell you want to call it, with Lashley and MVP. So, I mean, it's nice to see him back in the ring getting a match. You know, it's reintroducing us to some of the men's locker room, back to some of us fans who've been wondering where these superstars have been. You know, we've been wondering where, like, AJ Styles has been. We've been wondering where Cedric Alexander's been. We've been wondering where a lot of these male superstars have been that they called up or over the last few years or the last, you know, year or so, and they just shelved them for the longest time. I don't know if it wasn't fitting Vince's profile of what a superstar should be or what the deal is. But it's nice to see Triple H doing that and booking these matches like that.
This is very true. Because there's, like, I want to learn more people than the people I know. And
well, not just that, because if you go down to like the WWE roster and you see all these people on this roster, you're like, where has this person been for this long? Where has this person been? Where has this person been? And you're like, I don't even know who the hell these guys are, but they're still wrestling. Why haven't we seen them on TV? You know? But yeah, it's definitely feels like Cedric Alexander still has a little bit more potential, I think, underneath the Triple H bookings, and maybe eventually hold a mid-card title. We never know. But like I said, it's good for him for getting the television exposure. And do you like this idea do you like Triple H booking these stars that we haven't seen in a while to get him that exposure?
We need a build up. I know that. We need like a refresher on who these guys are.
Exactly. And I think when they're gone for so long, you're like, holy shit, I forgot that they even, you know, wrestled in the WWE. You start wondering, well, did they get released because of budget cuts or something? You know, it's just one of those things that it's nice to see Triple H doing.
Right.
And I also prefer the singles matches that he had, that, you know, he's reintroducing us to some of these stars in singles matches rather than putting four stars together and have them in a tag match like they were doing. Just two random guys going up with just two random guys, you know.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead, man.
We still have more to come to see, but I mean, I think it's going in the right direction.
Oh yeah, definitely it is. It's definitely it's a slow process, but I don't think anybody expected it to be like 100% fixed overnight. Because that's just you know.
Well, you can't throw shit at the wall and expect it to stick.
Exactly. Unless you got some really shitty, unless you got some real sticky shit, then that's just on you and your diet.
And you're dying.
Exactly. And I think all it takes is it's like that one appearance for a wrestler that we haven't seen for a while, or just that one appearance of a wrestler in general that could get the new fans hooked or the younger fans hooked.
Okay, side note.
Mm-hmm.
This did just come in my brain. Who would you like to see, prime or not, return?
Prime or not return? Like, do they have to be with WWE, or like, can they be with another promotion?
No, they can. Any wrestler you want.
Okay, so in their prime, give me Prime Batista.
Oh,
Prime
damn.
Batista is. I seen him at WrestleMania 35 on the career match against Triple H, and he still has it. He still had it. You know, he could at least gone another 2, 3 years probably in the industry, but you know, it's understandable. He wants to act in Hollywood. He's Drax the Destroyer and Guardians of the Galaxy in the MCU, so he's making money off of that.
He's trying to venture out like all like John
Yeah, he
Cena and
is.
Rock did. I
He
mean
is, and he's
that.
actually doing a good job at it too. I mean, it's not like
Oh,
I've seen
good job.
a lot of his movies, even outside the MCU, that were pretty darn good. So I mean, give me Prime Batista any day. I mean, I know you, Jeff Hardy, probably, or you know.
I was thinking Jeff Hardy, but then I'm like.
That's
But
too.
I liked Edge. I loved Edge's attitude. He was like an
Oh yeah.
FU type of dude.
Exactly.
Mr. Kennedy, I liked him. I just like the assholeness of him.
Now, which Mr. Kennedy would you have? Would you have WWE Mr. Kennedy, or would you have him in TNA as Mr. Anderson when he was part of Aces and Eights?
Oh man, now that's hard. That's a hard.
Exactly, because he did some good work in Aces and Eights, you know.
He did some damn good work. That's actually one of my favorite promos that TNA did.
Oh yeah. That entire faction in general in TNA was awesome. I love that entire storyline that they did. That was probably one of their best storylines that came out of TNA.
Well, yeah, actually, it
But that's
was.
a solid answer, Mr. Anderson or slash Mr. Kennedy. I
Man,
mean,
I'm gonna say both. Can I have both? Because both of
go
them
ahead,
are
man.
like.
You're the one that did the question. So I mean, it's up
Man, no,
to
like they that was in both the same era, like the same couple years.
you. Yeah, within a few years of each other. Yeah,
That
it's crazy.
man, that's. But I liked Hornswoggle as well. His little silly
Oh
shit.
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers in their prime that I would like to come back, but I think if I
Man.
had to pick anybody, I think it would be Batista. Just that Batista bomb was so deadly.
I okay, it'd be the 20s Jeff Hardy. I'm gonna go 20s.
Okay,
He
so
was
just
young,
past his debut.
just passed it in, just got in, was clean for the whatever time he was, and he was doing
Exactly.
fucking solid.
Yeah, I think that's not that bad of
It's
a decision, or
because
not
that's
that
how
bad of a
my
choice
brain always worked. My brain was a squirrel running.
either.
Well, it still is, but it's an older squirrel. Squealer.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, going back to Friday Night SmackDown, we also had a match where LA Knight defeated Grayson Waller. Before the match started, LA Knight said he wasn't done with Roman until he wins the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
Are we allowed to are we allowed to play stuff from YouTube on here? Are we gonna get demonetized? Because
I mean,
I don't exactly know the rules.
technically, we never had money coming in really from Spotify anyways, so fuck it.
I
I'll
mean,
edit it out in the Spotify episode, but we won't get
man.
demonetized because we're on Facebook. We're on Facebook. They don't pay us anyways either. So
Okay, this is very true.
it's not
But
like we're getting money from them.
which one is this? B and R.
But yeah, as you're working on that, LA Knight was interrupted by Waller during this promo. And LA Knight absolutely destroyed Waller on the mic, stating that Waller looked like he wasn't allowed within 50 feet of a school.
Okay, I just read that. I just read that. I don't even know where I read that at, but I just
It was
threw me
hilarious. It
off.
was
I'm just like,
he was talking
huh?
about his he was talking about his $5 haircut and how he looks like he's gonna go to school and all this stuff. He's like, oh, but wait, it looks like you're not allowed within 50 feet of a school.
Here is
Yeah,
a clip
that's the
of Roman
yeah,
Reigns
that's that right there.
being a
Yep.
beast.
Oh,
Do you have sound on your end?
Step into a Slim
Yeah, I
Jim.
got sound. I can hear you.
Get savage.
Bastard.
Fucking ad. I hate ads.
Yeah.
The worst for me. But I get it. That's how we make money, so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Seen Uso up the air, the canal table.
It's under a minute, so I don't think we'll get demonetized.
Now Roman Reigns back into the fray, and he runs into a knee.
I did like Roman Reigns when he first came around.
I think everybody did. I mean, until he started becoming Vince's boy.
Ooh, I'm going to put part two to my answer. I need Dean Ambrose. I liked him.
There's so many versions, too. I mean,
Lunatic before, Fred. Lunatic Fred.
I mean, but would you even go young John Moxley when he was in CZW? Where he was doing these hardcore death matches and these death tournaments.
Man.
He gave good promos too during that time.
Damn it. Well, you just had to bring that up.
I'm throwing monkey wrenches into everything now.
Ah, man, you motherfucker.
But
I didn't know who he was until WWE, and then
that's understandable.
So
yeah,
I like this dude.
Yeah, I'll send you some of his compilations of his promos back
Do
in
it.
CZW too, man, because they were good.
They were
definitely really good. And if you haven't yet, I mean, I know I'm not big into reading a lot, but I like to read like autobiographies and things of that nature. But you gotta check out his book. It's just called Mox. It's like a memoir, but it's written like we would write a book. It's all squirrel brained, all over the place. Has different chapters. It doesn't follow.
What was that class we were in, and what was her name? It was an English class, so we had to do a movie.
Miss Runkle?
I don't think it – was it her? Cause...
I don't know. I mean, that's the only English teacher's name I remember from high school.
I don't know. I remember the English teacher, but it was me, you, and another
– Oh, that was Miss Brewski.
Brewski.
Yeah. Senior year.
Yeah.
First hour of the day. We all sat at the same table, and you were sleeping most of the time.
Hey, man, I didn't think I needed that damn class.
Well, not just that, but I bet you had swim practice in the morning, too.
Yeah. I was like, oh, easy nap. I can make this an A.
But, yeah, going back to SmackDown, I mean, in the LA Knight match against Waller. I thought it was a good match for a confidence booster for LA Knight to rebound after his loss to Roman at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, but then he just got hit by Roman Reigns with the spear. So
exactly. But
how long? So my question is, how long are they gonna push this?
That's what I was wondering. You know, do you think that LA Knight will be challenging Roman again for that championship? Because the next pay-per-view event after Survivor Series is the Royal Rumble in January. They don't have one in December this year. So Roman's going to be off the shelf for essentially 2 months, it looks like. No pay-per-view event, no title defenses.
Why do we not have one in December?
I don't know. It's just the way it fell this year because we had two in November with Survivor Series and Crown Jewel.
This is true.
Crown
Jewel is next weekend.
No, Survivor Series is next weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Survivor Crown Jewel is just this past
weekend.
I mean,
I want to be there. So what? Oh, hey.
Exactly, dude. I mean, Survivor Series is going to be something else, too. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, do you see LA Knight possibly still challenging Roman at the Royal Rumble? Because after Royal Rumble, you look at it, you only got, like, one more pay-per-view event before Mania. And they got to set up that Cody storyline pretty damn fast. If that's what they want to do at Mania.
I think they'll go probably one or two more. And just maybe even... I don't know. Like, I don't...
Because it just leaves everything in a standstill. Because Roman's taking time off. Which, granted, you know, because of the situation. I don't think anybody's mad at that. Because it's medical-wise. So, I mean...
Nobody can be mad at that. Maybe they'll build up a couple storylines to see who wants to...
Fatal three-way at WrestleMania. LA Knight versus Cody versus Roman. I mean, that's what it's looking like. That's honestly what it's looking like right now. Especially if that's what you want, is to still push LA Knight for that main event status that he has.
Why did you walk the only thing I could think of.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with LA Knight, especially since he says that he's not going to stop challenging Roman until he wins that championship. Do you think if they do decide to to do that match at Royal Rumble. Do you think a loss at Rumble makes LA Knight go back to being a heel?
Ooh.
Because, I mean, he has had a decent run as a face.
Good as a heel, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does his most work at. Yeah, because, I mean, if you ever watched, I mean, I know a lot of our audience watches different promotions and things of that nature. But if you ever remember watching him in Impact doing his LA Knight promos with the dummy yeah button that he would push every single time, it was just he was getting heel heat. I mean, and that's what he is. He's a natural heel. And it just fits. And I mean, I'm not complaining because of him being a face, but I don't know. It just seems like he's a natural fit for a heel in this situation.
Go out there, please.
Yes. And after that match, it brought us to our main event. We've seen Charlotte and Bianca Belair defeat Damage Control by DQ. You noticed I left a name out there between Charlotte and Bianca Belair, the third member. Well, that is because the match ended when Asuka sprayed the mist in Bianca's eyes and helped Damage Control take out Charlotte and Bianca, adding not just Kairi Sane, but Asuka to Damage Control. I mean, we kind of mentioned it. We talked about it last week.
We did. We mentioned it very vaguely.
Very vaguely. Not just that, but I thought for sure it would be. I mean, it's pretty cool to see Asuka in a faction with Io Sky and Kairi Sane. She's had history with both of them. She's won tag team champions with both of them. I even sent you that picture of how many championships apiece that they have. It's one of the most dominating factions in women's wrestling right now. So I thought it might have been, you know, going a little different. I thought it might have been the three of them pairing up and leaving Bayley and Dakota Kai on the outside looking in. But now they have five members, and it's going to be fun to see where this goes going forward.
It reminds me of what was the group with five people that was in there?
I'm trying to think of like all the bigger factions and things like that.
Like the Four Horsemen, something like that. Evolution. There you go.
Well, we had Evolution.
The women's Evolution.
Ooh, okay. They already had the women's Four Horsemen too. So I mean, this could be it. I mean, you got Bayley, who's been in the WWE industry for a while now, so she has the experience.
She's like the Oscar.
You have Asuka, who's. Yeah, she's like, and then you have Asuka, who's almost like Triple H, almost in a way, who's been there, done that.
You just literally stole that out of my head.
And then you have...
Get out.
Then you have Dakota Kai, who's like Batista / Randy Orton. Just getting her feet wet. It's only been there for a little bit.
Probably be Randy Orton a little bit.
Oh yeah, I mean she's called the female Kane because, you know, she loved Kane as a child growing up, and you know that was her favorite wrestler. So.
Oh god damn it! we're gonna have to do an episode of like favorite superstars during different eras.
Ooh, okay, yeah, we could probably fit that in because we are looking like this coming week we will be doing our Survivor Series episode a little earlier because for our American friends, we are celebrating Thanksgiving.
I get to be fat and eat.
Exactly. So we will be recording a quick little Survivor Series preview, and we'll probably fit that in there too. So you guys have that to look forward to. Yeah, so that would be like our little giving thanks to wrestling, I guess.
Yeah.
But do you think that this is possibly going ahead in which, you know, like we always mentioned with Judgment Day, how they kicked out Edge after they used up all of his, you know, knowledge and things of that nature. Do you think that at some point in time, they're going to kick out Bayley?
You know what? I could see that happening.
I mean, right now as it is, I mean, it already seems like she's the oddball looking in ever since she's been making matches and doesn't have a championship, really. It seems like she's on her way out of that. And I personally think that this is probably setting up for her to be a face, you know, again, for the first time in like 5 years or so.
Yes.
So, and then you could possibly see if that does happen, you could possibly see that Bayley might challenge for the WWE Women's Championship if that does happen and try to beat Io Sky.
I could see that happening, yes. I could see her like just saying fuck it and go for it.
Exactly. I mean, that would be a logical thing, especially if she's on the if she gets kicked out of the group, you know. I know where Bianca Belair goes from here. She's always gonna be in the main title picture. She's always gonna be lurking around Io Sky. But where does this leave Charlotte right now? I mean,
Charlotte needs to be shelved. Okay, she's done. I mean, shelved. Be a boss. Be a GM. Be a Lady Paul Heyman.
No, Lady Paul. Sorry.
I'm sorry, but dude, she's. I feel like she's had her time. She's trying to wring the fucking rag now for 15 minutes.
Or like what we said before, I can't remember what episode it was, but we said it in one of the episodes that right now it just seems like there's two Charlottes that you could possibly get. One that just completely shits it and just goes through the motions and doesn't really want to be there. Or you got the Charlotte that will make any type of match feel like a main event match. And it just seems like we're getting more of the first version of Charlotte more than anything lately. I mean, we haven't had the Charlotte that we've seen, you know, at WrestleMania 35 when she was in the main event against Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. We haven't gotten that Charlotte in years. We haven't got the Charlotte that's going to do a moonsault off of the freaking top turnbuckle. You know, we haven't seen that.
True.
We haven't seen the fierce competitor that she once was. I don't know if she wants to, you know, slowly leave the industry or what, but it just feels like, you know, she's in limbo too because Becky Lynch isn't wrestling at the moment right now. And it's just like she needs someone to go up against. And I think that some person is probably going to be against Jade Cargill since she's had, you know, talks with her when she first joined. So maybe it's going to set up a little bit of like a John Cena did with LA Knight, maybe passing the torch to Jade Cargill, who is, you know, the newest member in the locker room. So, and I won't be mad at that, but I don't think it's in Charlotte's DNA to put someone over like that.
No, it's not.
Especially with Rick being her dad. Yeah, that's not happening.
She's always been like a heel in my
exactly yeah
book.
That she's had tendencies to be a face every now and then, but she's just better as a heel in general. Speaking of Jade Cargill going down in a little rabbit hole, when is she gonna debut?
I have no idea.
When do you think that she's right now in the performance center, putting in the reps, putting in the training, getting a little bit more familiar with the WWE before she makes her debut, possibly at Rumble? I mean, if not Survivor Series, making her appearance, you know, to run interference or something, her only other debut option would be Rumble.
Yeah, that's hard to even say anymore, man. Like, they start pumping people up, and then they, like, kick them to the curb.
But it's like, I also don't want this. Remember when the WWE, I think it was like last year or so, they ended up bringing Ava Marie back.
Right.
And it's like they did all these little vignettes, all these little promos, things of that nature, had her team with Piper Niven as her enforcement. The point is, she couldn't wrestle. She couldn't put in any of the work, but yet you re-signed her. You know, right. It was stupid for them to re-sign her. And it's just like, I don't want that to be what happens to Jade Cargill. Because Jade Cargill, like we all know, she is a little bit more on the green side. She's still a rookie.
Yeah, but opinion, if you're willing to put in the fucking work.
Exactly. I mean, and it's obvious that she is because she was one of the longest reigning TBS champion, I think, in the history of the championship. So at AEW, I mean, she has the workhorse ability. She's definitely, you know, going to do something in a WWE. It's just, I just wonder when they're going to debut her, because it's like, we all know that she signed. It's just when are we going to see her? Exactly.
You gotta make her time.
Yeah, especially when a lot of the casual WWE fans don't follow other promotions and don't know who she is. You got to build that the rapport with the audience. You know, you got to build that, because if not, you're gonna all your matches are just gonna be silent and uninspired, and you're gonna be like, well, why wasn't the audience over when I won?
Right.
You know, why was it just like a mild, like you could hear like a pin drop type shit, which happens on a lot of WWE, not just WWE, but AEW matches too. You have these matches that don't draw the attention. And I think that's what kills a lot of the wrestlers at that time. It's like, man, okay, what do I have to do? And I think that's probably what they're working out on Jade Cargill, is working with her promotions, you know, her promos. I mean, right. Working with her promo skills, working with her in-ring skills. It's just something that takes time. And I think that they're willing to invest the time in it because they see some type of payout in the end.
This is very true.
Normally,
you just been on a rampage and I just let you go.
Hey, it is. It is. I mean, something that, you know, it's just one of those things, you know. I mean, why would you sign someone new and not have them debut right away unless you're training them to try to get them polished?
JT,
you know?
I'm doing the show real quick, buddy, okay?
Normally this is the time of the episode where we turn our focus over to AEW with Collision, and we're not doing that this week because AEW is having their pay-per-view event this weekend, Full Gear. So we will be staying with WWE with Monday Night Raw. We are ending the show with our predictions of Full Gear and talking about the matches. So that'll take up a little bit more time than to just talk about WWE real quick. So Monday Night Raw kicked off with a promo from Cody Rhodes, where he vowed that him and Jey Uso will regain the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. He introduced his team for Survivor Series War Games. And, of course, like any good promo on Monday Night Raw, it was interrupted by Judgment Day.
All right. Hey, we'll take that. I like Judgment Day.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're doing good. It's definitely, like I said in the past few episodes, it's definitely something that the WWE is banking on. It's easy money for them. It's easy views. It's easy clicks. I mean, why not?
Clickbait.
During the interruption, Seth Rollins got mad and went ahead and challenged Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh to a tag team match with Rollins and his partner, Sami Zayn. Speaking of that match, it was made during commercial break, and we've seen Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn defeat Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh via DQ. Another match, two matches and two shows ending in via DQ. This is the one that I'm not actually mad that ended in DQ, actually. I mean, I think it's a fitting result for this match. You know, progressing the storyline for War Games. But, I mean, come on now. You could have done it a little bit differently. A DQ just seems like a cop-out way to end the match, for me at least. I think that the booking could have been
better.
No,
I agree with you. I hate... If it's not a needed DQ, don't fucking use it.
Exactly.
Do not fucking sorry, guys. Language, whatever. I don't
care. Hey, you're all right. We're
don't fucking use it. Don't use a DQ.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I understand it. This is, you know, adding to the fuel, the fire that will be Survivor Series for them. But I think this one was more necessary than the one with Asuka turning heel. That could have been done at the end of the match, you know, with her spraying the mist in the eyes and then beating them up like that. It didn't have to end the match like that. But this one, I think, was done right. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, so do you think that with these constant needing help from the Judgment Day's other members, do you think that this faction's on the way down? I mean, we've seen how Balor looked at Damian Priest when Priest said that he was the leader of Judgment Day. You know, he was like, well, what the fuck? What am I to you then, you know?
Right.
But it's like, I see this probably going one of two ways. I see it being almost like a bloodline situation where JD McDonagh, since he now is an official member of Judgment Day, could be the one member that is like, you know, he means well, but cost you a lot of shit, you know, cost you a match or two, you know. That's why I feel like it is. And I just think that it might be something good. I mean, JD McDonagh, he was part of Schism over in NXT, so he knows how to be part of a group. But I think that this has like the Bloodline Sammy situation written all over it for me. Do you think, though, with this situation, especially with Priest saying that he is the leader, do you think that he possibly gets kicked out within the time span? Maybe he cashes in, maybe he wins something. Do you think that he'll get kicked out?
Yeah.
Or do you think he's going to be one of those permanent members? Yeah, you think it is? I think it's slowly leading for Priest. Out. Yeah, especially I think, you know, with him having issues with the Money in the Bank situation a few months ago with the briefcase costing him a lot of matches, I think that it's long-term storytelling. I think that it's going to be Priest probably on the way out. But do you think if Priest does get kicked out, do you think he'll turn face or do you think he'll stay as a heel?
Ooh, I think...
Because he's done good work with both. I mean, he's teamed
with Bad Bunny. I like him as a heel. As a heel.
Yeah, I definitely like him as a heel better. I mean, he definitely has the draw for that. Now, do you think with the Money in the Bank situation, do you think that he's more likely to cash in on Seth Rollins or Roman at this point in time? I mean, I know he won't win against Roman, but it just seems like
but he's going to lose.
Oh, yeah. I think honestly, they're trying to get him towards the World Heavyweight Championship. So I think that he's going to have a failed cash-in against Seth, but I think that's going to set up something for the long run between the both of them.
This is very true.
Let's see. My mind
bouncing all over now. I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Let's see here. After that match, since a brawl erupted after the match, Adam Pearce decided that anyone not involved in that night's tag team championship main event was banned from ringside.
I agree with that.
I mean, that's good. I mean, it was only something fitting for that, but you know, it's Judgment Day, so they figure a way to work around it and things of that nature. I mean, just like any good heel faction does. So that moves us on to our next match of that night. We seen Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Otis.
Not really sure how I feel about that, but you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I could see it as they want to make Shinsuke a staple heel, I think, on Raw. And I think because he lost to Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship, I think that this is a match to pretty much boost him up again to try to make maybe another run at it.
Right.
But saying that, it seemed like Shinsuke was actually outworked that match by Otis. And Otis
Jackson, go out there, please.
And Otis had most of the control, majority of the match. And what really did it was Shinsuke hitting Otis with the King Sasha and putting him away for good. It's going to be interesting to see where Shinsuke goes down the road. Do you think that he's going to be challenging Seth still for that World Heavyweight? Or do you think it's just going to bounce around from Seth, not Seth, but from Shinsuke to Priest to probably McIntyre again? Or do you think it's just going to be one competitor, have a couple pay-per-view matches against them, and go from there?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because, I mean, all three men were involved in that championship. I mean, it seems like, you know, with McIntyre, he had that little silent push a little bit pushing him and getting him into the world heavyweight picture. And then you had Shinsuke, who was there and then disappeared for a couple weeks, not to be mentioned into it. So it's definitely something I would like to see more of. I would like to see more of Shinsuke getting these types of matches, because I think that, you know, a belt, Shinsuke needs a belt. Let's just put it that way.
Well, he had World Heavyweight Champion a while back, I thought.
No, he never had any of those. He had, because the World Heavyweight Champion, that's Seth Rollins. That's the first winner, Seth Rollins.
That's right. That's right.
I think he had the United States Championship for a while. But I want him with something more meaningful, if you would, you know, something that's worth a little bit more than a mid-card championship.
Right.
I would like to see that, because we've only seen him with the mid card, and I think we've only seen him with the NXT championship. So it would be nice to see Triple H book him in some more situations where he could have that opportunity. Kind of book him like he did down in NXT. Let's just put it that way. He was real good down in NXT, and then he got called up. So, but where do you think that, I mean, it's going to be interesting also to see where he's going to go forward. I mean, he's also already beat up, Otis, and he also beat up can't remember who else it was, but they're all aligned with the Alpha Academy type situation. Do you think Shinsuke goes up against Gable next to try to take out the entire Alpha Academy? Because if you look at it, I mean, this could set something up too between Otis and Gable, if you want to split that team up, because they've been together for almost 3 years now, and tag teams don't really last that long anymore.
This is very true. Yeah, so, I think they would end up going against each other.
Yeah, I could see that too. You know, it's going to be, because I think our next two pay-per-view event matches after Survivor Series will be Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, then Mania. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, maybe we could see the Otis versus Gable match, if that does come to light, during a pre-show or an opening match. Either at Rumble or Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Next match, we've seen Tegan Nox defeating Piper Niven. Natalya was at ringside for the match for Nox, as Chelsea Green was ringside for Piper Niven's. Let's just say, I believe that this team of Nox and Natalya will be the next women's tag team champions. It seems like they're really building Natalya to win a championship, and she hasn't won anything of recent since I can remember. She hasn't been in any championship talks for the longest time. The only time that she's really in the talks is when it's these situations where it's like a fatal four-way or whatever for the women's tag team championships.
Right.
So for her to be in the mix right now, I think it's pretty good to see her back in the mix for something finally. And now that she has like a set tag team partner instead of picking a different woman every night, it's definitely going to be long deserved for her if they end up putting the straps on those two. But I think that Piper Niven losing gave an indication that these belts are close to switching hands.
Right.
I know, like I said, it's been a while since Natalya's won something, so I'm kind of excited to see where it goes from here, because
Put it into the universe, man. You do that every time you do it.
Well, it's also, it's like the women's tag division. Where will it go from here? I mean, we really haven't seen the belts defended as much as they used to. And I think that it would be nice to see them switch hands. And it's like the only reason why Chelsea Green and Piper Niven won them is because of an injury, I think, to, who was it? Can't think of her name now. Wow, just completely went blank there. But Raquel Rodriguez was her tag team partner. And
yeah, old man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting that old age, man. All the wrestlers are starting to blend in, you know, name wise together. But I think Nox and Natalya would be better champions in the long run. I think this right now was like a filler tag team champions to try to pretty much take up a little bit of space. Not space, but I guess you could say leave them, but make them as champs and then switch it later on down the road. Right. Because I mean, neither one of them are really tag team material, really. I mean, they're individual competitors, decent mid carders, but you know, I don't see them carrying the women's tag division.
Can you guys calm down?
Let's see. Next, we seen Ludwig Kaiser defeat Tommaso Ciampa by roll up. Gotta love the roll up.
I hate the roll up. Can they DQ that? Can they? If you're DQ'd.
Hey, kind of like English rules wrestling where you can't go off the top rope.
Yeah.
But I like this match. These two have worked well together in the ring before, back in the days in NXT. It just seems like the history and the chemistry has really stood out in the match. I'm glad we're starting to see a healthy Tommaso Ciampa, and especially partnering up with his old tag team partner, Johnny Gargano, to form Team DIY again. It's awesome. I like this little thing that they got going with Imperium. I think Ludwig is getting a decent singles push, showing that he's also a threat along with Gunther. I also think it's funny. Everyone's talks about how Gunther chops and, you know, how it leaves a big ass welt on you. But what about Ludwig Kaiser's clothesline that he did in that match? It's like he put a little extra oomph in it. It's like, man, that dude's really got a decent clothesline. I mean, it's not as good as JBL's clothesline from hell, but it's pretty damn deadly.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't want to get hit with one of those.
Oh, I wouldn't want to get hit with them. Yeah, I wouldn't want to get hit with a chop either by Gunther.
Oh, excuse me.
But do you think that this is going to set something up down the road? Maybe even a shot at the tag team championships for either Imperium or Team DIY? I mean, it's not like they're not not improved, but I guess you could say they're a tag team. I mean, they are how would I want to say this? They're established. Let's just put it that way. They're established tag teams. They know each other. They know everything about each other. So, I mean, why not have another established tag team go at these tag team championships?
Right.
Let's see. Could this also be slowly the end of Imperium too, as Ludwig Kaiser sees more singles action? I mean, it's obvious, you know, with Gunther being as big as he is and as powerful as he is, he doesn't need anybody to do his bidding for him. So it just seems like the only reason why they're together is so Ludwig Kaiser can hold Gunther's coat after he gets done with it and enters the ring. You know, it just seems like that's like the only thing that they're the reason why they're still together. I think that Ludwig Kaiser could actually get a decent push by himself and be a decent mid-card champion one day.
Yeah, he really could, though. I actually, thinking about it, he's basically his, here, do this, his bitch boy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
sorry to put it that way in those terms. Yeah, but I mean, it's the truth.
It is. Then the next match, we've seen a very forgettable match, in my opinion, where Xia Li defeated Candice LeRae. The match had literally no atmosphere whatsoever. Like we were talking earlier about how the crowd has to be into it.
I promise you, if I'm not into it, I'm not watching it. I'm
exactly
off on my phone. I'm gonna be doing something.
Exactly, and that's like I think a lot of us wrestling fans in general are like that. You know, if it doesn't grab our attention right away, we're off looking on our phone, checking scores to games and stuff like that, and just not paying attention until the match is over. When we see who won, you're like, oh, that was nice, you know. But it made it really hard for the fans to get into, I think, that were there. It had literally, like I said, no atmosphere whatsoever. They tried to save it a little bit at the end by having Becky Lynch come out to say that she's going to get her revenge on Xia Li, who took Becky Lynch out, before last week's Battle Royale, so she couldn't compete in it. Even with her coming out late, it did little for the match as a whole. I wouldn't call it a squash match, say, but I would call it a bad spot to book a match like this. It should have been like one of the earlier matches of the night, in my opinion, because, you know, if you're going to have a match like that, get it in the earlier stages of the night, not when you're trying to go towards your main event, when you're just like, the atmosphere's out of it. It doesn't help. when, you know, you have a match like that.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm popping my back.
And it's like all three women were really popular in NXT. And it's like, it just hurts because they used to put on bangers in NXT. And now it's
they
like,
really used to put on bangers on.
Yeah. It's like, God. It's like now it's just like the entire vibe just seemed like it died as soon as that match started, you know? It's like you can't have that leading up towards your main event. You got to have the crowd pumped for it. So I think it was a bad booking for them to put that match later on in the night.
Yeah.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do, but it just didn't land. But on the flip side, though, I am glad that they are advertising a little bit of the younger talent in the women's locker room, though. Next match, we've seen newly face Miz defeat Ivar of the Viking Raiders.
Hi, beautiful.
I'm not going to lie. I like the match because it made sense going forward for the Intercontinental Championship storyline where the Miz wants that championship from Gunther.
Why does he want that again?
Well, remember when Miz had it for like the longest time? And it actually meant something. It was actually somewhat prestigious. And it was, you know, he defended it on almost like a weekly basis, just about. So he, now that Gunther has this championship, and he sees how well he's making that championship.
Okay.
Not well, but he sees how long he's held on to that championship and he wants to try to do it himself again, you know?
Right. No, I'm sorry.
Yo, you're good, man. I'm just more excited to see where this international championship goes from here. If the Miz as a face is gonna win it, or if he's gonna lose, because the IC championship, in my book, you know, I know they're trying to do both the IC championship and the United States championship but getting more prestigious and wanting them to be more prestigious as they once were. And I think Gunther holding that made it more prestigious because he broke the Honky Tonk Man's record for longest reign.
You just had and to I, throw that at me, huh? Because
I had to.
Forgot about it.
I had to. Do you think, though, that if it does end up being Miz versus Gunther, do you think that the Miz takes out Gunther and wins
Fuck
that IC championship?
Absolutely not. Fuck
but, no. But with that being said, that would free up Gunther for a main event picture. That would mean that he would be able to challenge for the world heavyweight or for the universal. I'm just saying, I mean, it makes sense.
You're just making my brain cluster just fuck like pretzel.
It makes sense. I mean, it like everybody said, Gunther should be one of the next in line besides Cody to try to take out Roman.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, yes.
And if it does happen, do you think? Well, I wouldn't see it fitting well with any storyline, especially with LA Knight saying that he still wants a shot at Roman and Cody needing to finish his 785,000-page novel.
Yeah, no shit.
Do you think that Gunther would have a shot before Mania, or do you see him challenging whoever wins it at Mania? A few pay-per-view events later on down the road.
I think he challenges after.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what I was feeling about it, because if you look at it, it is too clustered before Mania, and I don't think there's enough TV time, enough hours to try to work in three storylines within a span of three to four months, you know? But if I had to say if he does have a shot at anybody like that, for that championship, it'd have to be probably at WrestleMania Backlash or Money in the Bank.
This is very true.
And wrapping up the final main, well, not the final, but the main event of Monday Night Raw, we've seen the Judgment Day retain the tag team championships against Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. But the biggest thing wasn't the match. It was what came after the match. Well, not after, but during the match, really. Drew McIntyre coming in while the ref was distracted, delivering a Claymore kick to Jey Uso. Meaning Drew McIntyre has officially turned heel.
Fantastic.
And at that same time, Damian Priest also gave J.D. McDonough a jacket to symbolize that he is now an official member of Judgment Day. What does this mean for McIntyre? Do you think that he's officially joining Judgment Day, or do you think he's just turning heel just to turn heel?
I think he's going to turn heel for Judgment Day and then branch out after that.
Because I was thinking it was like, because I was thinking, I was under the impression that, you know, he did it because of the simple fact that no Judgment Day members were allowed ringside during that match. And I think that Rhea Ripley made him an offer, something that said, hey, if you run interference, we'll run interference for one of your matches or whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily him joining Judgment Day, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see where it goes from here. Because it would be nice. It would be cool to see him part of Judgment Day. I mean, I like Drew as a heel and a face, you know? So, I mean, I'm not mad at it.
I mean, both of them. I like that he's a team player. He can do both easily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's like, I think that, you know, especially being a superstar and a wrestler nowadays, you have to learn how to do both like that. But where does this leave Cody and Jay? Do we think that they still will continue to challenge for the tag team championships until Roman comes back? Because, I mean, Cody is still left in wrestling purgatory for right now, with Roman being on the shelf for possibly until Royal Rumble and him trying to finish his story again. So it's like, do they just say screw it and just challenge it for a while? Or where do you think that leaves them?
I think they're gonna, I don't know, man. Like, that's hard to even try to think about.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I was thinking about. I was like, well, if you look at it, it would make sense for them to challenge for the tag team championships until probably, I would say at the end of this month, be done with it after Survivor Series and all that, just be done with it. And then have maybe Cody go on a little bit of a break until like about a week or so before Royal Rumble, where he'll come back and declare for the Rumble. But other than that, I don't know where it goes forward for both of them.
Oh, my back just popped. Oh, man. I have no idea, man. Like, yeah, I can't even guess on that because I can't even tell you.
I don't even know. Yeah, that's one of the things I was thinking about. It's just like, well, Cody's in purgatory again for that. So, let's see here. We are moving away from WWE, and we are giving our AEW Full Gear preview, which is this Saturday, November 18th, from the Kia Forum in Inglewood, California. Alrighty, so we're going to start off with the pre-show. This is announced for the 0 Hour show, which is their kickoff show. MJF and a mystery partner will take on the Guns for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship. We've seen the Guns win the AEW Tag Team Championships before, and with MJF having a mystery partner, it raises some questions on who it could possibly be. I don't know.
It's honestly, not CM Punk, because CM Punk's not coming back to AEW.
Well, I know it's not CM Punk because they actually have him and MJF actually have beef, I think, in real life. So, well, then again, MJF, if you ever watch like an interview with him outside of AEW, he always keeps his persona and his kayfabe. So it's kind of hard to distinguish what's fact and what's fiction with him. But honestly, I don't know of Adam Cole, but I highly doubt that he's medically cleared to compete. And I believe that this championship switches hands. I don't think that they're going to have MJF be a tag team champion much longer, given his contract status too. But I would like to see I like to see something still with him and Adam Cole, because I thought that was pretty comedic gold, and they just worked well together, in my opinion. But I feel like this is going to be best for business to have a tag team champion that would actually be able to defend week in and week out. So my pick is the Guns to win and become new Ring of Honor tag team champions. Who you got, Face?
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. I don't know, man.
But let's just put it to you this way. I mean, it's going to be a big night, I think, for Bullet Club Gold, which is members are Jay White and the Guns and Juice Robinson, who doesn't have a match. But I feel like it's going to be a big night for them because they're all competing for championship gold, too. So I think one of those belts is going to switch hands, either the World Championship or the Ring of Honor Tag Championships. Huh. So I'm just going out on a limb with the Guns.
You know what? I'm going to go with you. I'm going to ride that wave.
Do you like the idea? Because it looks like MJF going to be on the pre-show and he's going to be main eventing. Are you a fan of having if you were to have a wrestling promotion, are you a fan of having your biggest draw be in two matches in one event?
Break it down again?
All right, so MJF is going to be on the pre-show. Okay. He's going to be taking on the Guns for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships.
Okay,
but
okay.
He's also main eventing the show and taking on Jay White
in
AEW.
That's stupid. That's too much. That's way too much. Too much.
I mean, he is a younger guy, but you know, I think that they're trying to bank pretty hard on MJF, and they're trying to keep him happy, I think, for as long as they possibly can until January 1st, 2024. man. Another match we have will be Shida defending her AEW Women's Championship against Timeless Toni Storm. I'm going to say I love what Toni Storm has done with her creative freedoms. I feel like it's the best version that she's had of herself as a wrestler, even dating back to her days in NXT. I think that Shida is a decent foundation for the AEW women's locker room that's been lacking of late because of injuries. And I just hope that it's going to be a good match. I feel like with everything going on, with how Toni Storm lost her the AEW championship, I think that it would be nice to see her win it again. But then again, I just hope that going off on like a little side note that we will get the wrestlers like Thunder Rosa back returning soon. I know that Tay Mello has, you know, she's pregnant, so she's not going to be back anytime soon. But I'd like to see like that and Anna Jay get some shots in, you know. It's just, I feel like that women's locker room needs to be shown a little bit more and showcased a little bit more. And Toni Storm could possibly do that if she wins the AEW championship. And I know that she started this timeless Toni Storm persona after she lost the championship to Saraya, but I feel like this is her best work too, and I feel like she's doing really good with that. But I have Shida retaining. I just feel like
why am I agreeing with everything you're saying? Like,
hey, for once, I'm not doing fantasy booking. I'm actually sitting down and thinking about this. So, I think that, but I will say, I wouldn't be mad if Toni Storm wins, because I could see her starting up some decent feuds with some of the returning women that should be coming back from injury soon. So you got Shida retaining as well?
Yeah, I'm going to jump with you on that.
All right. We go to a match that might be a little hard to watch because of the fact that being a six-man tag match, But it's gonna have some legends in this ring. We have Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland taking on Christian Cage, Nick Wayne, and Luchasaurus.
All right, now I'm back in.
I told you. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited this match mostly because, you know, like I said, how many legends we have in the ring at once. I mean, we have WWE Hall of Famer Adam Copeland, aka Edge, back then. And we have Sting, who's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Christian Cage, who'll probably never be in the WWE Hall of Fame now since he joined AEW, but
fuck him.
Give it a few years. Give him a few years, and he'll probably, you know, mend some bridges and whatnot. But I feel like this is the start of Sting's road to retirement, since it is in March. I think they're going to try to drag this on him as long as they possibly can. I feel like this is also, though, the start of the Adam Copeland and Christian feud.
Yeah.
Especially after we've heard Christian tell Adam Copeland that he wants to break his neck. I feel like this match would have been better if it was a no DQ tornado tag match where everything goes and everyone's legal all at once. But I understand that was probably never an option given how old Sting is. That being said, I do believe to continue the storyline and to keep Sting on a little bit of a win streak before he retires, I got Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland coming out on top.
I'm not riding your balls on this one, but I really want to see them win. So,
but here's the kicker: Darby turns heel at the end.
Oh, you're such an asshole! No, no, absolutely.
So this will set up. But it's gonna set up Darby versus Sting for the final match.
Killing me, Smalls.
That's how you do it, though. I mean, it'll be like how Dominic turned on Ray when Edge was teaming up with Ray.
You know what? I wasn't mad at that. So,
So I'm saying my gut, Sting, Allen, and Copeland pick up the win. We also move on to another title match on the night where we see Orange Cassidy defending his AEW International Championship against John Moxley.
This is all Saturday night, correct?
Yes, this is all Saturday. Yep.
And what is this on?
What
can we watch this on?
Pay-per-view.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let's just go into the stadium in Chicago.
Well, no, this one's not in Chicago. This one, that's Survivor Series. This is over in LA, so in Inglewood. So I'm not breaking into shit in Inglewood. but yeah, I feel like this belt is always switching hands between Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley. I think, given the rumors of Sami Callihan possibly debuting at Full Gear, I could possibly see some interference ran by either Blackpool Combat Club or even Sami Callihan himself to distract the ref so Moxley can get a pin. I feel like AEW kind of needs to have a strap on Moxley to boost the ratings up, to be honest.
Yes.
I think Moxley's been he was a damn good AEW champion, and, you know, I know he has a wife and kids and things of that nature, but I would like to see him with a mid-card belt that, you know, he could possibly make into something big.
Right.
But I think, honestly, there's too many outside variables for this match. But I feel like it's going to be a classic Orange Cassidy match where he gets the shit beat out of him for about 10 minutes and then mounts a comeback. But I think at that time it'll be too late. And I believe that Moxley will be the new AEW International Champion.
He better. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been too long since we've seen Moxley without a championship. And even when he won I was excited when he won the IWGP United States Championship back in New Japan. So I feel like he needs a belt from somewhere. We also have Hangman Adam Page in action against Swerve Strickland in a Texas death match. I've always been a fan of death matches, but I'm a fan of the real death matches.
Or you die.
I'm talking about. Well, no, like I'm talking about like the MDK Nick Gage type shit, where you know it was like the CZW tournament of death, where they would have death match wrestlers from all over, with barbed wire and everything. Nick Gage actually really died in a match, and was revived 7 minutes later on the helicopter on the way to the hospital. But I feel like this is AEW. They do a pretty good job with the death matches, I feel like. And I think that this is their version of almost like Hell in a Cell, where rivalries will end and feuds will end with these death matches. I feel like it's going to be a bloody match.
It will be.
Because we know AEW loves the blood. They love seeing all that blood. So, and we've seen at All In that Swerve Strickland beat Hangman Adam Page. So I expect Hangman to get his revenge pay-per-view. As long as the Embassy stays out of it, which is the faction that Swerve Strickland is part of.
Right.
And I believe, since it is a no DQ match, I think that's going to play possibly a role. But I'm going to pick Hangman Adam Page to win.
Hangman Adam Page. You know what? I'm going to pick the other guy.
Swerve Strickland. All right.
I'm just for shits and gigs, just because.
Exactly. We also see the Golden Jets, which is Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, taking on the Young Bucks in a stipulation match. The stipulation is where if the Golden Jets lose, they have to disband as a tag team. But if the Young Bucks lose, the Golden Jets get the Young Bucks AEW Tag Team Championship opportunity match.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because the Young Bucks won a almost like a Money in the Bank type situation where they can challenge the AEW Tag Team Champions to a match for the championships at any time. So I like a good gimmick match for like a stipulation match, but it seems like a lot of stipulation matches kind of have fans on the edge of their seats at times. And I'm not gonna lie, I oddly like the tag team of Jericho and Omega for some reason. I think it's just because they call themselves the Golden Jets, because they're both from Winnipeg, Canada. And Winnipeg has, of course, the Winnipeg Jets, which is an NHL team. And I feel like it's just a little nod to them and their you know, upbringings in Canada. So, I mean, I like the entire
situation. I agree.
But I feel like the Young Bucks actually need this match, not only to try to get Kenny back to be part of the Elite, but also to further their status as a top tag team in AEW. I think with a stipulation, it could be a toss-up. But at the end of the day, I feel like the Young Bucks will retain the AEW Tag Team Championship opportunity. I mean, we all know your thoughts on Jericho back in WWE. Do you think that Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho could shock AEW and get this win over the Young Bucks and have a future AEW Tag Team Championship opportunity?
That was one of my favorite teams.
See, I had to, you know?
Yeah, I can see it. I didn't like Chris Jericho at first when I was younger, but then he just like grew on me. And then I found out he sung, and I found out he's this and that, and blah blah blah. You know what? I'm a big fan of him now. So yeah, I think he's gonna do some Jericho shit.
But kindly, Chris Jericho, from all of us at Jobber Club Podcast, please retire soon. Next matchup, we have Chris Statlander taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue for the TBS Championship in a fatal three-way, where Chris Statlander is the champion. It looks like AEW caught on to WWE's new style of defending a women's championship, making it a fatal three-way.
I hate again, you know the spiel.
Oh, fuck yeah, we all already know. Yeah, we all know it. I like that the AEW is actually booking this to showcase some of the younger women's wrestlers and to try to build that foundation for a women's roster with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. I feel like Statlander has held on to this championship for a while since she won it from Jade Cargill. I would like to see this championship switch hands, and I'd like to see Julia Hart win it. Right. And this would be almost like a stepping stone for the House of Black to get a push as a big faction. You know, my feelings of the House of Black, I feel like they should be getting a big time push. So hopefully that could maybe steer it into the right direction. So my pick is Julia Hart to upset Chris Statlander and win the women's championship.
Yes.
Not the women's championship, but the TBS
championship. TBS championship, yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with the House of Black and all that they've been doing throughout the longest time, I feel like this would put them in the right direction if she won a championship, or even if somebody else was to win a championship. I feel like it would be a good momentum boost for them. And this is where we lose face again.
You're losing face. Where's face going?
Not watching this match. A four-team tag match.
I love you.
The team of Ricky Starks and Big Bill take on Roosh and Dralistico. I can't even pronounce that. His name, I'm going to butcher it. So, Dralistico, FTR, the Kings of Black, and the Kings of the Black Throne, which is Malakai Black and Brody King, for the AEW Tag Team Championship.
So that's an eight. Jesus Christ, that's an eight. Yeah, basically, an eight-man tag team.
But the only thing that's good about this is that there will be only two competitors that are legal at a time. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a fatal three-way or a fatal four-way, but the results are still the same if you don't have to pin the champions to win.
No, I don't like those rules. I hate those rules.
I've liked Big Bill with Gold.
I liked Big Bill when he was with Amore. What was his name?
Enzo Amore.
I liked him.
Because he's seven foot tall and you can't teach that. Bada bing, bada boom. Realest players in the room. What we got here? A cup of haters?
I liked that. I liked his shtick. But I don't know whatever happened to that Enzo.
SA allegations.
Yeah, I say that too, but like...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of SA allegations. I don't want to go down that road because I don't know if they're all true or not, but that's what happened.
I don't think they are, but that's just my opinion because I really like them, so...
Exactly. I think that this match will come down to, honestly, FTR and the Kings of the Black Throne. I think that this night, like, it could be big for Bullet Club Gold. It could be big for the Kings of the Black Throne. I've said it before. I see Julia Hart winning the TBS championship. In this case, I see the Kings of the Black Throne win the AEW championship, the AEW Tag Team Championship. I think that's going to set up something. I mean, I know that they've attacked FTR and Blackpool Combat Club. I could see it spinning off to a rivalry between FTR or Blackpool Combat Club.
Huh.
Who do you have walking away with those straps, though? Do you think that Big Bill and Ricky Starks are retaining?
I like, you know what? Because I like Big Bill, I'm going to go with Big Bill.
Okay, so they're going to retain. Okay. I could see it happen. I could honestly see it happen. But I just feel like right now, maybe changing the straps off of them. Because I just don't see them as a legitimate tag team. Like I've said many times before, between champions that are there that might be a filler champion. And I feel like that this tag team was probably just a filler champion for a little bit while, because I know FTR was injured for a minute, and that now that they're back, I feel like this could be something where FTR either wins or the the what was their name? The Black Throne, Kings of the Black Throne, winning it. So it's gonna be a good, interesting match.
I'm gonna throw the knife in the dark and hit the wall, and go with the Black Kings, the Dark Kings, the Dark Whatevers.
Yeah. And now that brings us to the main event of Full Gear, where we will see MJF defending his AEW championship against Switchblade Jay White. Oh, man, it seems like we've been actually previewing this match little by little, you know, every week, because we've been mentioning it back and forth just for little tidbits. I feel like... I've said it before. I said,
who do you want to win? Because I know my answer.
I think I know your answer. I think we're on the same page on this one. I got Jay White winning it.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to be
devil's MJF?
Advocate. I was going to fuck it. I can't say it. I'm sorry. I'm going to go devil's advocate and go with the opposite.
Oh, you're going to go MJF. Okay.
Why not? I don't even like the cat. I hate him. But fuck.
I mean, he's definitely had his run as champion. He's definitely made it a decent reign in this championship. So I just feel like, though, something's going to happen. Wardlow, which was MJF's old little bitch boy, as we said before, promised to take everything valuable from MJF. And I think that could possibly be him running interference without the ref looking, or there's going to be a spot in which the ref's down for a second or whatever, and Wardlow comes in there and, you know, gives him a powerbomb symphony, and MJF's just laying there, and Jay White could pick up the win. I feel like
that'd be a cold win.
Oh, yeah. And well, if you
look that at would it, make me mad. I would be pissed about that.
Well, if you look at it, how MJF's won a whole bunch of times was with the dynamite diamond ring. He would punch people with it and knock them out. So I mean,
I can't. I'm not mad at that. Fuck it.
Yeah, I just think that right now, I think with his contract expiring soon, I think Tony Khan probably wants to get something done or close to being done, or at least in negotiations. But by the time Christmas comes, because he wants to try to secure a deal, that way MJF will still be with AEW, even though I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think he's going to stay. I think he's going
to. No, I think he's going to go leave too. I think he's going to have, like Jade Cargill did, take a little time off and then reevaluate himself personally, like Jade Cargill did, and make the jump. I mean, even though I'd love to see him in AEW still, I just think that his time's up, and I think he's going to go on to the main show in WWE.
I agree.
We are wrapping up the show with some news that Tony Khan said that there would be a surprise signing this coming weekend. People have been throwing out names like
not gonna happen.
We've seen names like Sami Callihan and Dolph Ziggler being thrown around a lot, and even Will Ospreay being thrown around a lot. But who do you think Tony Khan's top surprise signing is?
I don't know.
I think I read online, it said that it is the hottest top free agent in wrestling right now. And the only person that comes to mind, honestly, is Will Ospreay.
Simple.
I mean, that's also working into this. I mean, I think that Tony's top signing is actually going to be Will Ospreay. I think because Will Ospreay has had his new agent is going to get him the most money, because he's worked with a lot of these wrestlers and got him a lot of money at the end of the day. So I think this is what his huge signing is. But also, we are getting into a little prediction going back to Full Gear. Will the devil finally reveal himself?
No.
And what The one who's been doing all of the backstage attacks and wearing MJF's devil mask.
Anderson.
There's been a lot of reports, though, in the internet wrestling community saying that people are thinking it's going to be Jack Perry, a.k.a. Jungle Boy. People are thinking it's Wardlow. Ooh. People thinking it's Adam
it's Cole. It's Hornswoggle.
Oh, gee. People are thinking it's that. And then people are actually thinking CM Punk also, too. Because if you realize how MJF got his persona to be that devil character, he said the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he didn't exist. And who once said that? CM Punk once said that. So, I mean, it's not...
I need to get a Pepsi tattoo on me, fucker.
Right here?
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things to think about. But I think in all honesty, I think it's either going to be Jack Perry or Wardlow, possibly. I don't know of anybody else that I could see making a return. And I don't even know if they're going to even reveal who's even that character right now. I think they're going to try and drag it out a little bit longer. In other news, we see that Mickey James' name has been removed from the Impact roster.
She's old. Nah,
do you think that this means that she's going to return to the WWE and join her husband, Nick Aldis?
Possibly. But I think she should just like stay on the bench and be a coach.
Well, yeah, like I'm not saying that she's actually going to be a performer. I'm thinking more like a manager wise myself. But yeah, I think she could possibly rejoin. I mean, who knows? Maybe some fences have been mended. I know that she did return to WWE. I think it was last year for the Royal Rumble where she was the Impact champion, and it was the first time that Impact Women's Champion has been in the Royal Rumble. So.
This is very true.
I mean, we could see it. All right. I think that's all we have for this week's episode.
That's it.
We went, yeah, man, we've been on here for almost an hour and a half. we want to thank you all for your continued support. Our socials will be in the description. So if you want to further your listening experience, please listen on Spotify. Because every episode will have a poll or open-ended question that we would love your feedback and thoughts. You got anything else to add, Face?
Promote your shit, and I'll promote mine.
All right. We're going to go, as always, Jobber Nation, go to W.GG and pick yourself up some energy powder to mix into some water.
Powder. Wink,
yes,
wink.
Sir. Hey, this stuff is better than Ric Flair's woo energy. So, but yeah, if you go to our checkout, and use Nation 2023, you will receive 10% off of your total order.
Guys, follow me at FaceGaming13, Twitch, Kick, Instagram, and it's just my name on Facebook.
All righty. So that is all the time that we have for you this week, Jobber Nation. We hope that you enjoy Full Gear if you are planning on watching it. If not, we hope that you enjoy the rest of the weekend.
If you're there, shoot me a video on Facebook and I'll live watch it through you.
Exactly. So we hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Deuces.